Good evening, Perry.
I own a motel. Not too far from here. And you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Necronomicast. This is Wayne.
This is Zip.
This is Brian.
Hi, this is Doug.
And welcome to the show.
Hi.
It's good to be back.
Woo! It is. It's full on wintertime now, man.
Oh,
it's
Halloween amazing. Happened. Halloween was fun.
Now it is absolutely, yeah. High was 15 today, I think,
it's
right?
It's bone-chilling cold.
But we're warm and cozy here in the new palatial opulence that is the Necronomicast studio.
Yes.
Wayne
switched it up a bit.
It's 12 degrees right now.
In your soul.
Yeah, but Wayne built us a new studio. It's nice.
Yeah.
Nice job. We're ready to rock and roll this joint.
We needed space for beers and stuff.
Yeah.
And we needed more horror stuff on the wall. So I think I got everything up pretty much. I got some more stuff that I've had on shelves.
Yeah, every franchise is pretty much covered, man.
I think so.
Nice.
That poster's scary.
Yes.
The D. Wallace one.
Yeah. Come on.
E.T. looks... E.T. in a turtleneck?
Yeah, he's kind of like copping a feel.
Scary.
Oh, yeah.
D-Wallace has got his arm. If you count the hands, D-Wallace has got her arm around E.T. and he's got his eyes wide open and he's like pinching something.
He's got one hand between her legs. Look how big his eyes are.
Got a handful of D right there.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch. So today's topic, our main topic of discussion. We're gonna try something new this episode. We're doing a couple of different... I guess subjects or whatnot. Not really subjects. So segments. Yes, we're doing more segments for you because we've gotten some requests to cover a few different things, and maybe we should do them in an organized fashion. So we're going to try that out, which you will find out throughout the thing. But our main topic of discussion today is
found footage and documentaries.
Yes, and mockumentaries. Mockumentaries. So this is something, Brian, you brought this up really kind of, because we talk a lot about different movies like this, and we started kind of going through some of the movies, and a lot of them have been found footage lately.
Yeah, there's a glut of found footage movies coming out lately in the horror genre especially, and so we decided to kind of go back, maybe even talk about some of the ones that were the precursors to the kind of the current fad. We're going to talk about maybe a little bit like where we think it might be going. It's kind of a controversial topic. If you talk to some diehard horror fans, and I know you guys are out there, and you're probably gonna don't shut us off.
Yeah,
it's less than an hour show. Just listen to the show and see if you can find some common ground with us, because there's a lot of good and a lot of bad in the found footage, documentary, reality, shaky camera style genre. But we're gonna try and hit it honestly, like you know we can. So,
oh yeah.
Well, let's
hit it.
Let's start there. There was something that you posted, and I think we posted on our Facebook page, which was from Bloody Disgusting. They actually put it up there too. They didn't seem like they were big fans of it either, but it was a little documentary about how found footage is ruining
cinema
in general.
Yeah, cinema.
Yeah, not just horror films, but cinema.
Found footage is going to destroy Hollywood.
And reality TV has already destroyed most of that. But so let's talk about that a bit. Everybody got a chance to at least watch part of it, mm-hmm. and chime in. I think that's a good place to start when discussing found footage.
Yeah, I thought it was a real interesting take for a while. He got kind of hell-bent on being kind of negative and really pessimistic, especially going after people's personal careers after the found footage movie they did.
Oh, yeah.
Like that in itself, somebody's career, validates his points. But he brought up a lot of things, and he did his research. You got to give him, he did his due diligence going through kind of the history, you know, starting off with, I believe, like Cannibal Holocaust, mm-hmm. I think is what he kind of started with.
I want to see that.
Hey, it's streaming on Hulu, man. I just kind of...
Really?
Yeah. I got to get this streaming thing. Seems like you can't watch anything unless you stream it these days.
You got Doug. I just have a black and white rabbit ear television.
Sitting over here in my cardigan.
I wish a good movie would come on the television.
That's right. Oh. When Circus of the Stars on?
Yeah. I want my Matlock.
It's 4 o'clock. When's
like
dinner?
The Halloween episode of Matlock.
The Halloween episode. Oh. This episode brought to you by Roku.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a good place to start. I think, but everybody, like you said, pretty much starts at Blair Witch as far as mainstream television. And one of his big points was that people make found footage because they don't have the money to make a real film, and they're kind of putting it out there just because they're making it in a genre where they can't make a decent film, so they're going to make it a found footage film. That's the way they all are. It takes no talent. It takes no effort. At all. And he used that word too. It doesn't take effort, doesn't take skill, and it doesn't take any money to make a found footage film, yet you can just throw it out there and make it work.
Yeah, and he's throwing it from the creative side of like making the movie to the talent side too, saying that it doesn't take much at all to put these movies out. And that's where I start to disagree with him, because you know, we've all seen some found footage films that are very effective. You know, a good effective horror film, you know, I think it has some kind of a sense of anxiety, you know, like any, you know, like a sense of dread, you know, like you're, and with a found footage, what I think is unique about it, if it's done correctly, is that you feel like there's, you maybe feel a little guilt participating in the cinematic experience, you know, like you shouldn't be watching it at all.
A voyeurism of sorts.
Exactly. And I feel
really supposed to be.
And I think what was a great found footage thing was most of the segments of the original VHS, especially Amateur Night, the one that David Bruckner did about the succubus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like these frat boys are going out and they're going to put on the sex cams on their glasses.
It's supposed to be sort of like a Girls Gone Wild.
Right. We're going to bang
like a
some
secret,
chicks.
We're going to pick up chicks. Like these pickup artists are going to go out and pick up chicks and bring them back, and they're going to film the whole thing on this special camera they've got in their glasses. Mm-hmm. And it's like these guys shouldn't be doing this anyway. Mm-hmm. And then shit gets fucked up.
Right. Because you're almost thinking like you shouldn't be watching this, because you know it gets really close to what you think. What she's very complicit in the whole thing. And I don't want to get too controversial about this, but she obviously she's a demon, so I mean she knows she's down with whatever's going to go happen because she's got the final say. But it's like, oh my god, it's like these frat boys are going out for like, you know, they're going to get these girls drunk and plow them and
down to and, fuck you up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then no, she's going to rip off your genitalia and then she's going to scoop one of you up and carry away to her nest
because you made her angry,
right?
But again, it's a found footage thing, and the whole thing with the that was like a pretty extreme fan, and all those VHS ones too. There's like a big fantasy and horror element to them. They can bring them in, and it all has to play with, to me, different ways of getting that found footage. And they said there's many. There's a few different types of found footage films. Doug, you were saying it was a documentary style.
That's what that guy taught me on his Bloody Disgusting documentary.
And then there's
I didn't know that until now. I learned that this afternoon.
So what would the other one was from a person's
point of view? Well, like there was found footage, was just raw footage.
Right.
Yeah.
Where it was completely unedited. This is just what we've, as if they just burned it right off the tape.
Right.
And here's what we have. And so some of VHS is that way. Where mm-hmm. it's just like, here's just a bunch of random scenes. And it's not really.
Well, they
really
got that great
in.
Backstory about whoever that dead guy is. And, you know, and they're like trying to fuck with his house or whatever they're trying to do, rob him or grab something that somebody wants. So they're watching these VHS and then they're slowly picked off one by one in the original.
Well, VHS is part of a different genre too, which is
story
anthology.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and a story within a story. So you still see
it's
the
like
tapes.
So it's like a found footage
watching.
Anthology, and there's an overarching story that connects all the tapes together, so one kind is just the raw video, which is kind of like that, where it's just like somebody pops a video in and we're watching whatever comes up. And then what were the other kinds? Just were
documentary style, and then the one where it's actually a movie that flashes to the found footage.
So used found footage and real footage.
And filmed footage.
Yeah, like Cannibal Holocaust.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Which we don't see much of anymore in that way. I don't think used in that way.
That's right.
And I think what I would always kind of thinking of every time you see a found footage, like, how are they going to pull this off? How are they going to pull the found footage off? So every one of the Paranormal Activity movies, you find a little bit different way mm-hmm. on how they pulled off mm-hmm. the found footage. Some, and then some aren't, again, like you said, the raw footage, but footage taken from, say, like on the movie with where they the boys, they got the superpowers.
Chronicle.
And they used found kind of the, quote, found footage from different phones that were being held and his video camera. And
the fact that the kid,
the other girl's
video camera. Kind of the loser, the one that we quote-unquote.
Recently where there was, like, surveillance camera. Then there was also camera footage from the supermarket where she's eating raw meat. Was it Devil's Due?
I think it was Devil's Due.
Yeah, Devil's Due. And so there's, like, parking lot surveillance and house surveillance and handheld camera, homemade honeymoon video that's all edited together. It's like, whose tape is this that we're watching?
Well, you know what's really cool? And if you go to the movie District 9, which is not a horror film, but if you think about it, what District 9 tried to do, it tried to create, like, this flexible space for us to enjoy, you know, this found footage where it'd be kind of, it kind of moves in and out, you know, that aesthetic without justifying itself. I mean, they never really try and say, well, this is what the army found here. You know, they don't apply that in there.
That's more.
And if us as an audience can kind of get to the point where we kind of forget or we suspend our disbelief, where we don't need that clarification, you know, I think it gets really cool at that point.
But that was also more of a documentary thing because they actually did do interviews in that one, and then they had him followed by. You knew that they had a camera guy there.
The story just keeps, you know,
and then
moving.
It turned into a movie.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
A movie recently that we saw that's not horror, but that fits that same, like, they don't spell it out for you, was Interstellar.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff in that movie where you're like, well, why is everything like it is? They don't tell you.
Right.
It's just like, here's the future. It's fucked up in these ways. We're not going to tell you why, but you're just going to figure it out for yourself and like,
make,
you know,
your own decisions.
Or like the robot. The robot, you're like, what? Like, who's talking?
Yeah.
Who's fucking talking in this scene? it's that box with the screen on it. Is that a robot? What? You know. So you have to figure it on your own.
You're just
like
kind of picked up and then dropped off in a place.
Yeah, just here's, you know, so I kind of, that made me think of what you were just saying. Mm.
And not in a found footage way, but not spelled out.
Right.
I think that's where, with found footage, that's where you kind of lose it. Again, another found footage at Cloverfield, told instead of from the rampaging monster's point of view, you're told from little tiny people that are being rampaged on.
And I had never heard of that movie until I watched that thing.
Really, yeah.
Cloverfield
is awesome. Oh, man, you got to see it. Yeah, because
it's one of those, like Fargo. I rented it, watched it, and then I'm like, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to watch this fucker again.
Oh, shit.
I did it with Fargo. I rewound it because it was a VHS tape.
But it's, again, trying to figure out how they're going to be able to give the audience that footage. So it was all a dude starting off just recording a party and a farewell, because it was a farewell party. But the guy keeps recording the entire time. The biggest question I have for, you know, these kinds of movies is, can you keep me involved the entire movie and keep me believing as soon as I'm like, man, I would probably put down the camera at this point.
Yeah. Right, because that's always a part where it starts causing...
A lot of paranormal activities are like that.
Yeah, except for 3, and I'm glad three, when they put the camera, I thought it introduced great tension when they put the camera on the fan. Oscillating fan.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Because there's a film term, you know, not to get too meta with you guys, but it's diegetically, and you know, you're trying to have the camera in the people's minds exist diegetically, and it's always going to somehow cause some problems, and that's where the camera is part of the story. Why are you filming? Why do you continue to film? How does the audience connect to this the shit that you're filming? You know, like, do we find it in the woods? Is it just up there? Is it on YouTube? It's the camera is absolutely central to the story, that it's part of the story. It's not like most movies where it's the omnipresent eye of God just watching everything unfold. You know,
So it's kind of like, I always ask the question, would I still actually be filming here? When do you, you know, because they're always like, put down the camera, put it in.
Get the fuck out of there.
Right. I say that in non found footage horror movies.
Yeah.
Why are you still there? Run!
Get out of here. So, look here.
What are we looking at? What are you going to show us, Wayne?
Oh, nothing. I'm just making sure we're still recording here.
Oh, no. We'd have to start over.
So, back to, I didn't watch the whole Bloody Disgusting thing. I watched the first part of it. And it seems like he was just setting up to, like, just bag on the thing. And it seemed like he was going in a direction that was artistic, mm-hmm. where, like, the art of cinema is being compromised by these jackos with their handheld cameras,
ne'er-do-wells,
and like what you said, like he talked about it as being like they didn't have enough money to film it good,
yeah, right,
you know, or they didn't have, it's like their student project, mm-hmm. or it's and they're talking about, they're making it sound like it's a necessity to film
more,
it that way,
or it's nothing more than a cash grab by the studios. Like, why should we make a $20 million horror film when we can make it for $2 million and still make $80-90 million?
But I think found footage works better. I don't think it would work in other areas, in other genres.
Yeah.
I think it works. It would work in thrillers, whether it's like a sci-fi thriller, psychological thriller, or horror, because what makes it scarier or more thrilling is the reality of it.
Right.
Right.
It's not just the cinematography of it. You know, it's the fact that, like, you really are looking over here and you look over here now and there's something there that wasn't there a moment ago.
Yeah, right. You're right. They try to do something like they. I saw the man. No, what was the film? Project X, which was billed as a comedy, sort of found footage. I don't want to say found footage, but it was like documentary style. But it was kind of
one of the 80s with Matthew Broderick.
No,
big Project Party. It's a big party. It's like the party that blows up your parents' house.
Oh.
But it was the coolest party ever, right?
Yeah.
It was that.
Weird, like, science.
Yeah, it was that. And so that's kind of documentary style. So, I mean, they try to do it a little bit to that genre, but the casting, you know, some of the actors were totally not likable at all. It's like, good, I'm glad you blew up your fucking parents' house. You know?
Plus, I think it would be harder. Like, they make it sound like that guy, you mentioned something about talent. I haven't watched the whole documentary, so I don't know what his take on the talent of it is. But I don't see, unless it really was real, that you could pull off making it seem real.
Right.
Unless you were a really good actor.
Mm-hmm. There's one thing.
Because if you're not a good actor, you're not going to be able to pull that off. It's going to seem fake.
I watched the whole thing, and I remember this when I watched it, like the first Paranormal Activity. You know, those two actors, the girl and the guy.
Mika and whatever.
Yeah, and Mika. During their dialogue parts, he does something that even surprised me when I first saw it. He'll do a cut that's like a blur. You know what I'm talking about? Those cuts where he's just, nothing changes, but you can tell it goes to a different take.
Yeah.
And it just, you see it in documentaries sometimes. It just blurs.
Yeah.
And it's all over that. All over that movie right there. And his point is, and which is my assumption when I watch it, is that they kept flubbing their lines or going, you know,
that's
whatever
what
it was.
On that, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of cuts here.
Well, they also made that.
It's got to be because they can't deliver a long performance, you know, very well.
And they made it for $15,000, I think, is what they made it for. And it made gazillion dollars.
So what's the thing is kind of like when a band goes in and does a record on their own on the cheap and it blows up and becomes, and everybody says, oh, this is great. It's great music. It's raw. It's honest.
Nirvana, Bleach.
Yeah. Or do you have to have, you know, completely produced album that cost them, you know, $50,000 to make with all these guest spots and all this editing and all this production.
Yeah.
You make a Taylor Swift record, you're going to make a Nirvana Bleach. Yeah. You know, so who's to say what's better and what is more effective?
I was going to compare it to music in the same way.
I mean,
it's like it makes me think of.
Tell me,
and
talent.
I've been the same way where I've changed my attitude about what I'm about to say here. But for a long time, I was like, DJs aren't musicians. I took lessons my whole life to learn how to play my instrument, and you can't tell me some guy's just going to come in here and manipulate stereo equipment, and that's music. Well, yes, it is. I've changed my opinion. Yes, it is. It's like making a collage.
Right.
Is art just as much as making a sound collage is music.
Right.
And it's the same way. I mean, it's a new way to create a scary movie.
And you're right. It does work in that one genre. I would say it would also work
like
in porn.
It's like the curmudgeon, the old guy that's like, that's not the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
But it's you need lots of money and good actors who are professionally
and
trained.
And lawyers, representation, and we need to get... You know,
It's the voyeuristic part, I think, that works with the horror genre. Yes. I mean, the same thing, like I said, it would work for porn. It's not going to work with a romantic comedy.
Right.
But and it,
One Night in Paris. I think I could do that. I had an idea when you were talking. No, I'm going to do found footage rom-com.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm really out of my head.
Here I am. I'm going over to Tracy's house, and I'm going to give her this bouquet of flowers. You know, rom-com.
I bet there is one. I know. I didn't see the movie, but I saw a trailer for a movie where it's these people that fall in love over chat.
But it's horrible.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, cam sessions together.
Yeah.
Like sleeping in Seattle.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Isn't that except that's you got mail. Movie. The whole movie.
No, but
the whole movie is
you got mail is good, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think another thing about the found footage, though, when you talk about the original Paranormal Activity and when you talk about Blair Witch, there was incredible marketing for those two movies, especially Blair Witch that came out in 1999. The internet was still pretty fresh then, you know. Al Gore, you know, only
he just recently invented it.
And but I remember when Blair Witch came out, I mean, there was people who thought...
Yeah, they thought it was real.
This shit was real.
Before you guys got here, we were just talking about how... The Bell Witch story, too. Yeah, but the Blair Witch...
genius marketing.
Sci-fi had all these shows that were backing up the different stories, telling the different parts, because there are different segments throughout history that fit the Blair Witch story.
And it ties into the whole... I mean, Arthur Miller's Crucible, it talks about... You know, I mean, everything that was going on in New England at the time with all that. And then when you get into Paranormal Activity, I mean, you had Steven Spielberg, and this was laid out in the documentary. He even said, when Steven Spielberg comes out and says, well, I got a VHS copy of it, and I had to return it to the studio in a brown... I didn't want it in my house. And then they had the whole marketing campaign where it was like... And they went to college campuses.
Yeah.
It was like, vote! If you want it, only the college campuses. No, not everybody can see it. We're not going to let everybody see it. Only the college campuses that vote big are going to get it. Well, everybody fucking got it. And then it was at the Cineplex, and we saw it there. But boy, that was like, I remember when that was coming out, I'm like, I got to go fucking see this movie. Well, I have to go give them $7. Yeah. I have to.
He showed in that documentary that a lot of the visuals for any kind of, all that campaign and stuff was mostly shots of an audience watching the movie and not the movie itself. Mm-hmm. You know,
true.
So you're advertising a theater experience more so than you really are the movie in a way.
And
know?
I think they were some of the first.
Really, what they were doing with their marketing.
Good point.
Some of the first ones to make a trailer that most of the majority, 95%, 98% of the trailer was not in the movie.
Oh yeah.
It still built the same tension, still made you want to go see it. It was still pretty disturbing. And yet when you went and saw it, it was completely different. So no spoilers, which is a big faux pas. And we've talked about this before on the show. Big faux pas about horror movies today is that we see all the scary shit first, and then we get there, and it would have totally worked if we did not watch the trailer.
Yep.
So again, genius. Sorry if you think it's wrong or not. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm totally down with that.
Let's
give you different stuff.
Let's talk about our favorite found footage movies, and then let's kind of list some of the... I mean, there's a ton of bad ones, but some of the ones that we've seen that we're like, oh god. So top ones that just come off the
like
top.
Like good ones.
I'll just list a couple of them. I like the VHS 1 and 2 parts of them. There's like good parts and bad segments in those.
Yeah.
I liked Blair Witch Project, even though I hadn't had the whole setup of the sci-fi shows.
Right.
This, you know, I kind of went into it thinking it might be real. But also, I was kind of like, well, if this was real, why would I be watching it in a movie theater?
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
Right.
You know, I just don't think... I just couldn't see how that connection was made. You know, so I kind of had disbelief about that. Also, that was the reason that's one of my favorite ones is because that night when I came home, my girlfriend and I were sleeping, and she woke up screaming in the middle of the night and said, "Oh my God, listen!" And we listened, and there was cats fucking outside the window, but it sounded super scary and demonic at the time until I listened for a little while. But literally, that was the night I've ever seen it.
That's a good story.
Yeah, those are the main ones. that
the
I
male
like.
Cat and was I holding the hips.
I like Paranormal Activity
woman.
3 because yeah. of the use of that the camcorder on the fan. Yeah,
three was good.
Those that, scenes itself make that.
And that was
whole
a fun night too. Like it was yeah. like going back to the because I saw it with you and going back the audience experience. We were like. Because that fan was so fucking slow.
It's the worst, man.
I know.
Like,
oh, God.
I'm suspense
like,
building.
I'm like,
yeah.
ah! I was totally...
And then there's
I'm
nothing.
Really...
And there's nothing. I mean, how many times watching Paranormal Activity are you hyped up, tense, for nothing to happen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a fun night. And going back to the cinematic community experience that Doug was talking about, you know, that was a fun night. Okay, I agree with Zip on his. I'm going to attach... couple episodes back, you faithful listeners, we talk about Afflicted. That was dope.
Yep.
Cannibal Holocaust, God. You gotta watch The Godfather. I really like the new Bigfoot ones. I really liked
I want to see Exist.
Exist
I listened
was
to
pretty
that,
good.
That interview with the screenwriter.
It turns into a commercial against Mothers or a commercial for Mothers Against Drunk Driving at the end of it.
Yeah.
Whatever, but it was good.
And it was actually, made by the Blair Witch guy. Did you know that?
Absolutely, it was made by Eduardo Sanchez, who also made part of VHS2, the GoPro zombie camera.
That was really good, Sanger.
Yeah, that was great.
You know what? And it was funny as hell. I thought it was really bloody.
Great perspective, yeah.
I like the zombie genre. I like, the GoPro, and it was funny, and he had his iPhone. I mean, it was just, I don't know. That part of the movie, I was like, that was a good 20-minute part of the film. I know we might touch on it later, but the taking of Deborah Morgan,
yeah.
I really dug that. The werewolf one, we talked about that in a past episode. There's a lot of good found footage, blah, 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 documentary, whatever you want to call it. And then if we have a second or two at the end, there's talk about the next Friday the 13th, which is going to be, they're rumored to be a 3D found footage. So that might be the
really?
Future.
What? That's impossible. I don't yell like Zip's almost shut down.
Nothing is impossible in Hollywood.
What?
Nothing's impossible.
Well, if you find the footage and the glasses...
I was
together.
Filming in 3D right. just the other day, you know, just, you know, like my kid's birthday and, right. you know.
Well, I think it'd just be...
Like you do.
Like yeah, you do. I don't know how they're going to do it, but on the Friday the 13th franchise...
Just a movie.
Friday the 13th franchise.com. Jason Parker, if you're out there listening, you're welcome. We plugged your website, and it's a great website. But he had a news report saying that Paramount is testing... If they can do it, like they're filming stuff and testing it. That's why you're not hearing very much about the movie's supposed to come out like a year from yesterday. I mean, it's supposed to come out in 363 days. And right now they're still testing whether or not they can do a found footage,
can they do,
but display it in 3D. And they're not going to say, wow, we're filming this, but it's just going to be displayed in 3D.
Maybe they can't do 3D that lo-fi or something like that. You know, it doesn't,
who the fuck knows? I don't know.
I'm really waiting for the Friday the 13th claymation. I want a claymation. I want the guys that did Wallace and Gromit to do a Friday the 13th.
Really?
And claymation.
Stack up on the crimson Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sweet.
But
those are the ones I like.
Yeah. I'm not a big found footage guy, but I can definitely tell you one that I hated was the second Paranormal Activity, because you could tell that they were filling space every time it went back and started over with the fucking pool cam and all the different cameras, and then had to be like 30 seconds that you'd watch again and again in that
over
movie.
Over and over.
A lot of time wasted.
Yeah, total filler, you know, and I was just like, God, I hate this movie.
More time
did not like
Scarlett
that
Johansson movie.
What's that?
What's that Scarlett Johansson movie with where she's an alien?
Oh, Under the Skin.
Yeah. God, that was like, well, that sucked up 20 minutes of time watching her walk from the ocean to the camera.
Oh yeah, yeah, that had some. That had some time too. I'd rather watch her suck up my time.
Right. Yeah.
Suck up what? Like, suck up what?
Suck up my time. Oh, no, I got flustered. I'll pass it to you, Wayne. What do you like?
No, again, Paranormal 3 is a favorite.
Yeah, I like 3 a lot.
And like you said, the couple of the VHS, I'm trying to...
I really like the Chernobyl Diaries. I know I didn't mention that.
Yeah, and that
wasn't
that.
Really found footage. It was just shaky footage, I think.
Is it a documentary? Or?
No. No. Not really. I think it's just filmed with hand... like The Office or something. Just handheld. Yeah. It was the way they filmed
it. They're on vacation.
Yeah, but I don't think they're making a documentary or nothing because they're on vacation.
Yeah, that had one fucked up.
But it looked, but it looked cool.
Yeah, that's a good.
It's a good movie that kind of almost fits into the. One of those guys was a producer on that. The guy from Paranormal, I think.
One of those guys,
the Bry guy or whatever his name.
One of those guys that likes to cash checks.
Yeah.
And you know, in Cloverfield, even though it's not a horror film, I still thought Cloverfield was awesome. Yeah, loved it.
Good.
I was trying to think. There was an Alien one that I saw that I thought was done pretty
Alien
well.
Alien Abduction.
Oh, speaking of ones that are mixed, the fourth kind.
Fourth Kind. That's might have.
That's
been what
one
I said.
Where it's got.
That's an interesting
like,
one.
Interesting. Like there was the found footage or the real footage, and the reenacted footage, and they're side by side. But then I found out later that the real footage was all actors anyway.
Huh. Yeah. Huh. But it done kind of well. Kind of
but
different.
They did it in a way that was cool.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I don't even know as far as bat, you know, tankers, there's so many out there that I'm just, you know, it's like, oh boy.
I got the one that's the
terrible.
Worst movie. Not only worst found footage, but not worst horror movie.
The
worst movie.
Found pant load. Laid
pant load. Like, these filmmakers, when they made this movie, they pulled down their pants and their underwear. They collectively bent at the knee and sprayed The Devil Inside.
The Devil Inside, yes.
All over the cinematic worst. Universe. I mean, that was a bowl.
Is that the Eric Bana one that you were...
No, it's
hour and 20 minutes long.
Oh, it's
and
a, it's
it
a,
ends
oh.
with a website.
God damn, it's like
for
a
more information.
Oh, that's right,
website.
We talked about this. Yeah.
And the whole theater went, "What?
We booed!"
And everybody booed. And
I've never booed a film before.
We walked out. We went to like to the 10 o'clock movie. And we walked out in the midnight. People were waiting in a line, and they're all looking at our faces, like trying to figure out.
Scary?
And they're like, "Was it scary?" And everybody went, "No."
We saw all these suburban kids with their boyfriend. I mean, girls with their boyfriends, and they're all like. Oh, and we're like, go away.
Go get your money back.
And they were so deflated.
Go into a different movie, because this is terrible.
God, that thing was such a bowl of flu. It was awful. We're watching this whole fucking movie, and then at the end of it, they're like, for more information, or for more to the story, go to... We booed.
It's called what? Devil? Devil?
The Devil Inside.
I was telling people that it was a Michael Hutchence biopic.
Yeah. And then, but you know what? Guy made the werewolf movie, W-E-R, Ver,
where? Where?
Which I liked. So, I guess, you know, but I mean, boy, Devil Inside blew.
I did think the devil had a couple good lines. He always has the best lines in the Possession movies. At the very end of the movie, before they ruined it with the thing, they said, the woman is possessed, and he's like, "Who are you?" And she says, "You know who I am. Everyone knows who I am."
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. What? What? It's over?
It's a wonderful day for an exorcist.
Boo. We booed a movie in the theater. Wow. It never happens, man. I give every horror movie a chance.
We should do a supercut of devil quotes.
Everything.
Every
maybe
devil
we could watch it and record a commentary while we watch it.
Oh, my God.
And we can boo it.
I wouldn't buy that movie and donate it to a prison for them to watch it. That movie sucked.
Maybe, you know, if they're on death row. Like,
no, those guys got
give me that. I'm doing it myself before this movie ends.
Those guys got enough problems. I mean, I'm not going to...
God.
Prison's hard enough.
You're so merciful. All right, here we're going to take a quick break. If you have any comments on found footage, whether it's your favorite, whether it's your pant load... or, you know, just let us know. You can find it on our Facebook page. Go ahead and post it up there or send us a message. And, we'd love to hear what you think about found footage. Horror. Found
not
footage.
Rom-com.
Not found footage horror.
I haven't done my new genre yet.
Yes.
Movies.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about new Screams right here on the Necronomicast.
Hey, it's Scuba Steve from Hit That Dive. When you're looking for the area's best dive bars, gin joints, juke halls, or any other place where they serve cheap beer in a relaxed atmosphere, make it a point to go to hitthatdive.com and learn more about the greatest dive bars in the Omaha area.
And now it's time for new Screams.
Ah!
a scream? Sounds like a goat to me.
All right, so I have a handful of new screams that are out. We saw some of the trailers for some of these. The house is October built.
Dun, dun, dun. Good God.
I'm excited for that. That looked neat. Because I love haunted houses like that.
Yes.
Talk about an intense trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is, again, it's a found footage. We were just talking about this. It's supposed to be coming out. Well, when is it coming out? I think it's coming out.
Or documentary.
Yeah.
Documentary style. Yeah. Right? It's a documentary style.
Yeah, they're making a documentary trying to find the ultimate haunt.
Extreme haunt. So you can find that. We'll leave, for these ones, we will leave the trailers on our show page. So go ahead and click on there while you're listening here, and it'll pull it up. I guess you're going to have to pause it while you watch the trailers, but they're all here. Check them out.
What I liked about the trailer is that it looked really, you know, it looked fresh. I mean, we just talked about, you know, the last half hour about where found footage is and where it's right. going and where it's been. And this, you know, found footage, documentary, whatever you want to call it, we watched this and I was just like, oh my God. I mean, that looked really intense. So yeah.
It looks like a combination of the documentary style where they're trying to do a documentary and all of a sudden it turns into, hey, we're recording this because we're fleeing for our lives kind of thing. Yeah. It says October 10th, so it should be out now in select theaters. We're going to look for it online. In fact, it is on demand. I saw it on demand, so I guess this is also part of Stream in the Dark. You can actually stream this, but it is on demand, so check that out. We've been talking a little bit about VHS Viral.
Yeah.
The trilogy.
Yes.
What's that? Tell me.
The VHS Viral.
Number three.
I don't know what it is.
Number three.
VHS.
Oh, name of the third one?
Yes.
Viral.
Oh. Trailer looks, you were just talking about trailer looks kind of interesting.
It's pretty intense. And it's hard to, I mean, knowing how the VHS movies are and know that nothing is connected to any other part of the movie in hardly any way, it's hard to tell from watching that trailer what the fuck's going on.
I'm careful about saying this, but what I like about these anthology movies, it's almost like picking up an old Edgar Allan Poe book. You know, you're not reading cover to cover one story. You got these short stories.
Yeah.
And some are scarier than others. I mean, there's something to appreciate about each one. And I like it because they pair together these up-and-coming filmmakers. And I like the VHS series. I think it's a legitimate franchise.
This one is also on demand because this one did also come out in October. A lot of these did. Now, we were looking at the next one on the list was The Babadook.
Jesus.
We just saw that trailer.
Creepy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, very creepy. But Brian, you were saying that you've read a little bit about this. This one comes out November 28th, I believe, in the U.S.
You know, I take a little bit every day, and I read, you know, your major horror websites that we plug all the time, like your Shocks and your Bloodies and all that. And it's getting killer reviews. People say it's really a well put together movie. And as soon as I get a chance to watch it, as soon as I get a chance to experience it, I'm going to, because just even watching the trailer, I mean. You know, marketing people, we always complain about, oh, they put all the scary shit in the trailer, and we go watch the movie, and we've seen it all before. But I was kind of watching that movie, and there wasn't a lot of creepy jump scares. It was just like a whole mood. It was like it was an effective trailer, just like conveying this movie is going to scare you.
They didn't ruin it like they did with Annabelle.
No.
Annabelle, I guess.
Here's our best effect, and it's free, right? Yep, during the Baltimore Ravens football game.
Yeah, right? Do not need to see the movie anymore.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, Babadook. That's coming out this month. It's possible I'm going to go look to find out if it is on demand. Sometimes you guys can find that on there before the movies come out, like I did the next one, Horns, starring Daniel Radcliffe. We talked about this a little bit on the show before, but Horns, again, is from it's an adaptation of Joe Hill's book. Joe Hill, being the son of Stephen King, came out with this book. Lori just got done reading the book, and we watched the movie. And it's—I thought it was fantastic. That was great. She said it was pretty close to the book. So
when that comes we should have Lori come down to the lair and
kind of do maybe a book review and a movie review.
That's right. And so then, what was the next one? Wolves.
Yes.
What was Wolves all about?
I couldn't find that trailer.
No, we'll watch the trailer. It's interesting. I actually saw that looking through some on-demand movies, and I realized that it's coming out, I think it's still coming out. Let me see. And the thing is Jason Momoa is the main character, the main werewolf in this. Yeah.
Oh, it's a werewolf film?
Yeah, it's a werewolf film. Just came out. I'm not sure what kind of release it has. It's on IMDb. It's only at a 5.4, which I kind of thought. It's almost kind of a... Looks like there is a romance story here. And,
right.
Yeah, yay! It's kind of a Twilight for werewolves, I'm kind of wanting to think. So I'm not going to pay the $8 or whatever to see it on demand. I'm going to wait until it's free. The werewolves look interesting. They look more like the...
They have Lautner's abs in it.
Yeah. No, Momoa's.
Yeah.
So, Jason Momoa, who you might know from Game of Thrones and or the remake and reboot of Conan the Barbarian. So...
What was that noise?
Yeah, that was not a fan of the remake.
They did that.
Yeah, Marcus Nipsel made it.
Yeah, the wolves. Nipsel. Some of the werewolves look pretty cool, and but they also might look too wolfmanish, I think.
Oh,
nothing more, nothing that we haven't seen already on
Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf. Yeah, no, seriously, they had pretty good wolves on that. Actually, Teen Wolf or
Dad was all Gray Wolf because he's old.
Not that one. The remake, the MTV.
Oh, they remade
Wolf.
That too. Fuck for as a whole TV series. Show. Yeah, can't they leave series. Anything alone?
Did you ever watch the end of Teen Wolf when the guy's jacking off during the credits?
No.
If you watch the ending credits, I'm like, God, what? Everybody, and you watch the ending credits of Teen Wolf. We'll watch it on YouTube after this, everybody, and you should too. There's a guy like he's got his pants down, he's got it in his hand, and they never cut it out.
What?
I saw it on TNT.
Oh, no,
for God's sake.
Well, let me see this. This is some.
You know,
shit
and I know we're talking found footage, but have you guys seen The Gray with Liam Neeson?
No.
Jesus, it's not a horror film, but is it ever? Blood curdling, and it's real wolves. So, if you guys don't want to see wolves with abs and all that shit, go see with Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. It's my jam.
Yeah, I watched that movie and I was like, holy shit! Yes, very good. Very good.
That is all the new screams that I could find. Currently, they're getting into Christmas stuff because most of them came out in October. Some of them are coming out in November. We'll see if there's any bloody Christmas movies coming up on that. So now it's time for Stream in the Dark.
So you like to watch scary movies on Hulu or Netflix? Well, now it's time for Stream in the Dark.
Stream in the Dark, yes, this segment is dedicated to the streaming stuff. So if you don't catch it in the theaters or you don't want to catch it in the theaters, here's where you can do it. You can do it on Hulu, Netflix, on demand, or, like Zip does it. He's got not the red box, you've got the Netflix so that you actually get the thing. So
yeah.
It kind
of
counts.
I just watched, part of this we can talk about is season 3, Coven, of American Horror Story has been released on DVD. So it's not released on streaming on Netflix yet, but it should be probably in December, I think. There's a 2-month delay between when the DVD comes out and when streaming begins.
But currently you can watch the first two episodes, first two seasons.
You can rent the third
Story.
On the DVDs.
Oh, nice.
I just finished
to know.
Watching those. They're fantastic.
Excellent. Do those. I've got down, and we talked about this before, The Taking of Deborah Logan is on there as far as horror goes. I didn't know what to think of that when I walked into it, but there's a couple scenes in there that I was pretty surprised.
What's that one about?
That is the one Wayne hit me to it, and he's like, you got to see this. It was the whole premise is that the old lady has early onset dementia.
Oh, we talked about
this. Or like Alzheimer's coming on, but it's really a demon. Well, she has the disease, but it's like the demon is going into her because of her location of where these murders happened and also because she's easy to take over. Mm-hmm. So these medical school students are trying to film a documentary talking about how to treat, cognitive therapies, all this kind of physical therapy with somebody that's got dementia. And it's like, well, we're filming this, and then all of a sudden it turns into a fucking paranormal activity.
Yeah,
you know, right. You know,
okay,
you know, cool. She's levitating and she's speaking in tongues,
just appearing out of nowhere.
And the whole thing is great because she's it's connected to snakes that yeah. you found out at the end of the movie. Oh. And she's always like grabbing herself. And Alzheimer's patients sometimes, you know, not mutilate, but like they injure themselves, you know, doing whatever because they're hot or they're cold. But no, she's shedding her skin. And I mean, I was like, fucking creeped out.
Yeah. And Doug would appreciate this. One of the best moves from a horror movie person, and not that it was an okay found footage film, but one of the best ones was that he got his van shot up when some crazy old dude next to him shot up the van. They're all freaking out in the house, like what the hell. So the cops come, take the guy away. The next day, the camera dude's out. He's like, I'm leaving. Like, you can't leave us. He's like, nope. I'm leaving. You want to come? Fine. Otherwise, nope. Yeah. Whoop. And he takes off, and that's it for him. He's
and
done.
And he's like, screw he's this. Got the double bird.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you guys. I'm out of here. And I've never seen that in a horror movie before. No.
And nothing bad happens to him. He like lives.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah.
The guy got head on his shoulders.
Yeah. It was great. I'm out of here. I've had enough. And they're like, no. We'll pay it. He's like,
yes, fuck you.
And he's takes great. Off. And he's gone for the rest of the movie. I'm like,
yeah.
Good for him, man. Somebody has some sense.
And I think I mentioned that on the blog. I'm not sure if I did the blog on that, but there's a great scene at the end with it, because it is all about snakes, and she takes that little girl, and they're in a cavern, and all of a sudden it just comes around, and you see that he's starting to swallow this little girl.
Oh,
wow.
And it's just, oh,
on his like, jaw.
Whoa, that's just wrong. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, Deborah Logan, that's
definitely
Dexter.
Cool.
But Deborah Logan, yeah, it's if you're paying the $8 a month Netflix, watch it.
Do it, yeah. Salem is on now. I started watching season one. Season one is now on Netflix. You can rent that. I thought it was pretty good. It started off pretty good. I didn't get to watch the entire season. Another show that I haven't seen, Dark Net. I'd like to hear more about that. If anybody's out there that has watched season one of Dark Net, that is now on Netflix. You can watch it. It looks pretty interesting. There's a couple of things online if you want to try and find the trailer, but make sure you're finding the right one, because it took me a little bit to actually find a trailer for this particular series. Carrie, Mercy, The Sacrament, and You're Next were the next ones on the list. Those are all available new horror that's out there streaming on Netflix as well.
Carrie was very good.
Yeah, as far as a remake goes with Carrie, I thought that was all right.
Yeah, I like
Brian that. And I saw You're Next, and that had a very interesting take on the genre.
Yeah, right. Black comedy, man.
Yeah.
Really?
It's because the tables get kind of majorly turned.
Really? Yeah, all right.
On that one.
Yeah, there's some funny shit that happens in that movie, but there's also great gore. There's suspense. I mean, there's some...
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's cool, but I really enjoyed that it was just a different take on...
You walk into it...
People getting picked off one at a time changes...
Yeah. You're expecting one thing, and you get something else, and it's still satisfying. You know?
And it's still satisfying. All right. So that's it for the Stream in the Dark. And actually, well, there's only a little bit of horror news slash.
Scanning the web for all the latest in horror news? Well, this just in. Horror news slash right here.
All right. And that would be Evil Dead series coming up. Stars. Yeah. Can you believe this?
On Stars?
Yeah, next year?
They've ordered it, yeah. It is, and you can find it, we're going to leave a link online
with
to
Bruce Campbell.
A couple of them, yeah. Produced by Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi. It's picking up where they left off. It's going to be a 10, I think it's a 10 episode series, kind of like a mini series. They're going to be doing, bringing back the adventures of Ash. And yeah, it's going to be an Evil Dead thing. No news yet. I still wanted to see if they're going to do another one to... This one here, the remake of Evil Dead. I really hope they do. But so far, we're going to get the series. So this should be after the Army of Darkness.
And I said this episodes ago, we're in a real golden age of horror. I mean, there's going to be a Hannibal season three of Bates Motel. We've got this Evil Dead thing. They're going to make a Friday the 13th series that's rumored to be connected somehow with the next movie that comes out. I mean, it's
like... do a Lego Friday the 13th, too. That'd be great.
A Camp Crystal Lake Lego set.
Yeah.
Really? You know. But I mean, like,
you should admit that. You can do that.
I did it for Jaws. I mean, I didn't create it for Jaws, but I certainly voiced my approval for that. But it's what's neat about this whole streaming, Netflix, on demand, all this stuff is like, you know, the power... It's like they're finally figuring out Oh, I can get some money over there. Oh, there's some money over there. And, you know, you don't have to go the traditional route of, well, you know, development and blah, blah, blah. And it's like there's excitement. There's for different projects. And it's cool for all genres, but especially horror, because, you know, so many times horror gets roadblocked and, you know, they're finally realizing that, you know, we can spend a little bit of money and make a shit ton of it. On all kinds of platforms. Yeah. So,
and Doug, you gave us the great news that there's gonna that Guy LaPointe, we're gonna see him.
Oh, you're right
again. Yes,
Guy LaPointe is apparently going to be
that guy.
He's gonna be in Yoga Hosers,
and Tusk comes out on DVD December 30th.
All right, I'm gonna watch that again.
For real.
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yay. Well, that's all the news. And now it's time for our last segment of the day, which we can't wait for.
Let's get drunk and watch a horror movie, and then take notes about it. It's Crypt Notes. It's like a human centipede for your ears. Ew.
That's it. Come on, Debola's Crypt Notes. Now, this one you did a while back. Tell them what you do with Crypt Notes.
This is, okay. Well, what I did for the Changeling, right?
Yeah.
I was talking about how great the Changeling was, so I sat down to write a list of things that were awesome about it, I guess. And then it turned, and I had a little rum, and it turned out into just a list of what was happening in my mind as I watched the movie, right?
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah, stream of consciousness, like, this is what happened. And so I guess that's what this was on Halloween, or the night before Halloween, I watched Cabin in the Woods with a little rum.
Was this the first time you saw it?
It would be the second time.
Okay.
I saw
All
it once
Hallows
before.
Eve.
Yeah, and so I wrote down what happens in the movie. God, this is long, and I haven't seen this since I wrote it. And so you guys want me to read? I want to read this.
You're going to end the show with this.
I'm going to read through
Cabin
this.
Cabin in the Woods.
All right. You guys can make any Foley sounds if you want, like you did
before.
We're
working on it.
All right. The horror start. I'm pretty sure that's the dick in Revenge of the Nerds, too. I've heard all these names in the credits, but never seen them. These chicks need a pillow fight. Spike Jonze shows up in a womb of reefer. Oh, shit. He looks like Spike Jonze. Jonze says farther, but the subtitles say further. Subtitles win. I need an RV for someone else to drive. Is this guy Thor? Cabin is totally modeled after Evil Dead, but no porch swing. I need a double-way mirror like this, too. And her, act, not him, I don't think so. Speakerphone is so 80s, F that. This movie rules. I want to be the wolf moose. This movie doesn't have the ugly girl die first.
It was a wolf.
What, wait, oh, yeah, this there's movie a moose. Doesn't have the ugly girl die first.
No. Hottest girl goes into cellar. Spike has the knowledge. Don't read the Latin. It means death or hell. Sexy Witches is on the board. Wish, wrong Latin. What? I don't know what this means.
I don't know either.
Captain Morgan knows.
Yeah. No shit, Jerry knows. There's always next year. That is a fireplace. We are not who we are. We are Pop-Tarts. cute scene lasted 2 seconds. Take me inside. Isn't that his line? Hey-o. Little tits are the Ritz. Copyright Doug. Zombie attack! Go, Thor, you beast! And they die. And oh no, poor man Scarlett Johansson is making out. Spike is going for a walk. Abandon.
That's great.
I just said out loud, hell's bells and shells. That's new. Zombie gives poor PM Scarlett Jo head.
Ooh.
Did that happen? Oh, his head, right? She catches his head. That's what I meant. Oh, I was being funny there. All right. Spike is immune to bad influence. More blood. Sexy Witches wouldn't have been so bad right now, right? Oh, yeah, because they had the choice. PM Scarlet gives pain to zombie. Run away. RV time. Looks like it's worse in Japan right now. What does that mean?
Because the Japanese were
Tunnel blown. Lawn mode. I think I was just rhyming when I wrote that. That is so Thor on a bike, right? And he hits the mosquito netting. Get in the van, PM Scarlet Joe. You're going to have to offer up your virginity. Blood again. I can't even write what just happened. Go, you virgin. Guy with beard just failed at getting a date to the ballet.
God, I don't want to do that
ever.
That's a really long thing for me to write at this point in my drinking, I guess.
Bad phone rings. The virgin kicks ass. Pothead kicks ass. Why weren't there sexy witches again? Skelevator ride. Oh, I think I made that up. It's a Wonkavator because it goes sideways. Yeah. Oh my God, they were so close to a giant spider. I remember that, seeing that spider. Yeah. Oh, what if that one had opened? Yeah. My God. Open them gates, PM Scarlet Joe. Things are going poorly for about everyone. Big Bat, fucking Unicorn Death, what the fuck? This movie definitely has the best third act ever. Revenge of the Nerds guy gets it. This is for Booger. Virgin just penetrated. Ripley lays it all down. I'd be the fool. Oh no, PM Scarlet Joe, we love Spike. Lots of shit happening. And in the middle, I had deja vu. Weird. Ripley goes into the abyss. Last scene equals so great. Giant evil gods. Band name? I'd rather eat cookies, though. Spike Jones living is a message. And fucking horror stops.
Yeah.
Wow.
Debola.
All right.
So, spoilers. Yeah. You can figure out what the hell all that meant.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You can read along.
The poor man, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Classic.
PM Scarlett Joe.
That was your Crypt Notes.
If you want me to ruin a movie in the same way that you choose, yes. You're choosing right on in.
Yeah,
and I'll
yeah.
check it out. Me and Jerry will show up. Me and Sailor Jerry will show up and give it a viewing.
he'll do his own notes to your movie, whatever you want him to watch.
Horror and alcohol, hand in hand.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks for joining us on this episode of The Necronomicast. Again, find us online at necronomicast.net. Send us a message. We want to hear from you and hit that like button.
Like it. Like us.
Like it. Like us.
Lick it and like it.
Ooh. Whatever you want to do. My name is Wayne.
This is Zip.
This is Brian.
Bye. I'm Doug. Thanks for coming by.
And we'll see you on the Necronomicast next time.
Stay classy, San Diego.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes, blogs, merchandise, and other information, go to our show page at necronomicast.net. And don't forget to find us on Facebook so we can be social all up in ya.